This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. I got on a plane the other day, specifically a Boeing 737-900, and I flew to Chicago for something hours, LAX to O'Hare, for an appointment at the Boeing company, the maker of that aircraft, obviously, at its corporate headquarters. It's a big modern skyscraper with Boeing's logo, a stylized image of a plane circling the globe right up near the top. Took a quick tour of some cool old aviation memorabilia, and then headed up to the 36th floor.
Welcome to my home here, Boeing.
This is great. It's great. You have a stack of books on your desk just like I have a stack of books on my desk. Dennis Muilenburg's been the CEO of Boeing since 2015. He's been with the company since he joined as an intern back in 1985. We did a little chit-chat while we set up.
Are you starting in that college thing with the 17-year-old?
Yeah, he's going to Iowa State.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Good for him.
That's eventually great. Sat down in front of a table made out of old airplane parts.
See my Boeing 707 hubcap table here.
With, of course, airplane models sitting on it.
Yeah. Not going to knock over the model signed by the president.
Yeah, the worst thing would be if you destroy one of my models.
Yeah, no, I know. I know.
Airplanes aren't the only mode of transportation in Dennis Muilenburg's office, though.
You got a bicycle in the corner?
Yeah.
Did you bike to work today? It's 30 degrees in Chicago.
Well, I didn't bike to work, right. But I do about 10,000 miles a year. It's my my favorite sport.
And then we got down to it.
So here's the working thesis of this interview. That aerospace is the global leading example of what America's good at right now, right? Because of innovations both from this company and others, right? But in a way, what Boeing is a manufacturing company, right? I mean, you're a big industrial manufacturing company. Yeah. What does it take to be a manufacturing company in America today?
Yeah. I think being a manufacturing company in America today is harder than it's ever been.
How come?
Because I think the economy, the nature of work, over time, it's moved a bit away from manufacturing and building hardware.
Mm-hmm.
It's moved more towards digital software, yeah. different sectors. And while we're a very intense software and digital business, we also build big, complex hardware. There used to be more of that in this country. And as a result...
You say it as a lamentation.
Yeah, I think there's incredible value that comes from the ability to design and build complex machines that drives economic value. It drives jobs growth. You know, I think about what we do in the aerospace world as an enabler, yeah. More broadly. You know, you think about what's happened over the last century, the big steps of mankind, you know, going from walking on the earth to walking on the moon, right? From riding around on horses to flying in airplanes. The act of flying is something that drives real technology advancement.
So that's admirable and aspirational, and I subscribe to a good, healthy chunk of that. How are you feeling now, though, about this economy, its prospects, and where we are globally, given the changes that are happening in the global economy?
Yeah. Well, it's a challenging geopolitical environment right now, right? So we're dealing with, you know, trade issues and a challenging trade environment around the world. At the same time, you know, we're seeing strengthening economy right now, which is helping us in the business. I think in the U.S. here, significant regulatory reform, which I think has been very beneficial.
So give me an example of how regulatory reform, which is coming from the White House, right, and the president, how has that helped Boeing?
Yeah. A lot of it has been in streamlining of government processes. So you think about things about certification, pace of being able to bring new products to the marketplace. You know, another big thing to us has been tax reform. That has been incredibly beneficial, and I think
why though, sir? Because Boeing was doing great before the tax bill,
but it's unleashed another wave of innovation. So when you look at what are we doing with the benefits of tax reform, our number one use of cash is investing in innovation and R&D.
Raising salaries too,
and raising salaries. So let me tell you what we've done with the tax reform money. So day one after tax reform was passed, we allocated an additional $300 million directly to our employee base. We also amped up our R&D and our innovation spend. That's part of what's happening right now. It's really driving our momentum as a company.
Since we've danced around a little bit, I do want to ask you about the president.
Yeah.
The president, for those who might not have seen the news, either had just been elected or was about to be sworn in. I forget exactly the timing, but the president went after Boeing for the Air Force One contract very early in his time. Got on the phone with you. You negotiated a satisfactory deal with the president for the new Air Force Ones. I don't want to get to the merits of the contract. What I do want to ask you is this. Do you think it's appropriate for the president of the United States to be negotiating one-on-one with the CEO of a major corporation in this economy?
Yes. And,
why?
And I'll tell you why. What it tells me is one, he cares about business, and he creates open communication lines. And we will have differences time to time. We may not agree on every topic, you know, as we're dealing with things like China trade policy, for example. We're eagerly supporting the ongoing trade negotiations, hoping to find a solution, one that's not based on continuing tariffs. So that's a place.
What do you think the odds are of that?
I actually think we're headed towards a productive solution. Okay. I see both sides moving in a positive way. From my view, the big thing is he's created an opportunity for business to have a seat at the table, right? We're part of the conversation. I applaud him for doing that.
Let me pick up on the China thing for a minute. Some enormous percentage of this company's growth is going to be in Asia over the next decade and a half. You're working with Chinese aircraft manufacturers. What's the downside risk if the current trade environment continues?
Yeah. Well, let me give you a sense of the China market. Chinese traffic growth, passenger traffic growth, is growing at about 12 to 15% a year. It's becoming the world's largest commercial airplane market. About one-third of the 737 aircraft that we build go to China. And we have great relationships there with our Chinese customers. We have industrial partners there. COMAC, for example, builds parts on all of our commercial airplanes.
Which is a Chinese firm.
And we also know, exactly, and we also know that they're a future competitor, right? And that is the nature of doing business in China is there's both competition and collaboration. That is a fact of how global operations work. China needs the airplane lift, and while we're creating capacity in China, we're also creating manufacturing jobs in the U.S.
And you need the China market, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about your supply chain for a second. It is obviously global. You individually, Dennis Muhlenberg, have a reputation for being exacting with your supply chain. You want good prices, you want quality delivery, and you've been criticized for it, but you make no bones about it. This is your business.
Absolutely. We have high expectations for our supply chain, just as we have for our own operations. About 60 to 70% of the work that we do as a company comes up through our supply chain. So for us to be successful, we expect to win together with our supply chain.
What's it like to work for you?
Well, it's maybe you should ask my people.
Well, I'll tell you why, because, you know, this is radio and people can't really get the vibe of what's going on here. But you come across as very intense.
Yeah.
You're leaning forward. You're very focused on this interview. I imagine it's you can be a challenging boss.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I think if I think about leadership style, certainly intensity and competitiveness is part of it. Lives literally depend on what we do, right? Millions of people flying on our airplanes, servicemen and women around the world, their lives depend on what we do. That demands this sense of excellence, utmost integrity. That values base of excellence is really important to me. And I do have high expectations for our team, but it's done in a way that's hopefully in a way that, you know, helps our team members enjoy what they're doing, but also be challenged in what they're doing.
Dennis, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Kai. It's great talking with you. I appreciate it.
We talked about 35 minutes, Dennis Muhlenberg and I, and we've got the rest of that conversation about Boeing's big competitor, Airbus, of course. How long you have to plan ahead when you're making new airplanes. Turns out it's a long, long way. Also, the Lion Air crash from a couple of months ago. It's all on our Corner Office podcast.